How are we all doing today? Yeah? Never thought we'd get here the way this week went. I got my COVID-19 backpack. Just kidding. Just kidding. It's props for today, I promise. I'm glad you're all here today. I really am. I'm glad everybody that could and wanted to be here today made it today to get this chance to be together with God, to praise Him as a community, to pray as a community, and just be together and hear a word from God today. Amen? It has been an interesting week. Started with Pastor being, just being Pastor. And getting ready for his revival and getting the sermons together and bending my ear on those. And then going, oh, I'm sorry, you have a sermon this week too, don't you? And, we lost a special lady this week in our church. Monty Reese passed this week, and their family, of course, still needs our prayer. And everything's still going on tomorrow if you want to come to the visitation and or funeral service tomorrow. And then, of course, this thing came over the news and national news and social media is blowing up. And added to our week. But you know what? I am just thankful to be here amongst my family today. And we are smack dab in the middle of our sermon series, Close Encounters, Face to Face with Jesus. And we've had some interesting looks at children that Jesus had a face-to-face encounter with. Peter was a very interesting one. Of course, it was a good one. Judas last week. I thought Pastor did a great job with Judas in some ways that many of us get on Judas's case a lot and don't necessarily like him because he did betray our Savior. But we had to look at in ourselves at that one. So this week we are going to look at Simon of Cyrene. And I want to start first, though, by telling you about my three most special places and all of this earth, my three favorite places to go. And on the slide that I think Ron is going to go to here in just a second, you'll see pictures of each of those. And the first one is at Anderson University. And it's the one on the far, well, to my left, but I guess it'd be, yeah, to your left, my right. It's on the wall at the library at Anderson University. And it's there, I did some worship there with God. I prayed with God. I read my Bible on that wall. I had some great conversations with friends on that wall. It's just a special place. And if you've ever been to Believe with me, you know that I always take a moment and go to that wall and spend a moment in prayer every time we're there for CIY. The second place is our own fellowship hall, and that's the middle picture up there. As you see, those are junior high students, by the way, choosing to kneel and pray. That was their choice. They weren't forced to do that. But that was during a junior high night of prayer. And I love that place, especially when the lights are off and just the cross is lit. I spent a lot of times in there. I've had some arguments with God in there. Never won any, just for the record. I have never won any of those. But that is a special place to me. The final place is where I decided that I wanted to accept Jesus as my Savior. And that's an older picture of it. That's the back of the old activity center at Little Galilee Christian Camp. Now there's a couple statues of Jesus' hands with nails through them in front of it. But that is a very special. That's where I accepted Jesus as my Savior. I knew right then I wanted to follow Him. And I'll never forget it. I was at junior high camp, and our group was doing a skit for the talent show, to a song called Undivided Heart by Jeff Moody. And Jeff came here a couple different times and led worship had a concert for us and stuff. And Jeff was there that week. And the song, see if I can remember the chorus, it's been so long, but give me an undivided heart, that's the way your love must start today. Let nothing stand in our way. And we did a skit to that. And I got to play Jesus. I was kind of actually forced to play Jesus in that, only because there was one other boy and six girls. So, the other boy was bigger than me, so I had to play Jesus. He didn't want to, so he won. But anyway, after we got done with that skit up on that stage, I got done, and after we did it, and I'm like, I want to follow this Jesus we're singing about in this skit. I want to follow that Jesus. So that's a special place to me. And those are three of my most favorite special places in the world. How many of you have a special place? A special place, maybe you like to go to pray, or read your Bible, or just look at nature, you know? I know Sandy Schlieff loves to go out to the Lake of the Woods and walk around and take pictures. That's kind of her special time with nature, with God. So different people have different special places. Tiana just likes to go to her room. That's just it for her. I'm teasing. It's just because you're leaving today, so I got one last chance to tease you. But we have special places. Now, do you look forward to going to your special place? I know I do. I look forward to going to the campgrounds. Now, unfortunately, that's now a tool shed because they have the new activity center. So it's kind of sad. I can't go spend my time there. But I look forward to Anderson. I look forward to when I get some time alone in the fellowship hall. Special places with God and memories were made. Well, today I want to tell you a story about a man named Simon, a man who finally had made it to his special place, his dream, a city he couldn't wait to see. Now, I must confess to you first off that I'm going to tell you a story, but it's beyond what is told in the scriptures. Simon is mentioned in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but Mark's description is fully representative of all we know about Simon from the Bible. And there are the three verses. They're up there. They're right next to each other. They pretty much say the same thing, but I'm going to read Mark because it has the fully encompassing version of Simon. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. That's it. I searched this week, too. That's all we got on Simon of Cyrene, right there. One of those three verses, which all basically say the same thing, except Mark reminds us that he was a father. So this narrative, it's a combination, first off, of a narrative written by a pastor named Jay McCluskey and myself. And I believe it's what it was most likely or closest to what it was like for Simon on that day. But understand, it's not all coming strictly from scriptures. Now, some of it's coming from Jesus, from some of the talk of how it was for Jesus on the road and carrying his cross. But others is just conjecture based on what we know of Simon from history and what we believe is the correct interpretation of the scripture. So here we go. You ready? Okay, wait a minute. MCC, are we ready? Yes, we're here. Are you glad to be here today? There's the energy I'm looking for. I have to have that. I have to have that. Otherwise, I might as well sit down and just read. Man, come on. All right. Woo, that's better. All right. Simon had probably dreamed of that day all his life. The day he would first enter into Jerusalem. For those of Hebrew heritage, it was the most important place in the world. The place where Abraham almost sacrificed his only son Isaac. The city that King David made his capital. The land where Solomon built his first temple. The place where Jeremiah and Isaiah prophesied. And Nehemiah rebuilt the wall. But what he wanted to see most was the temple. The new temple, in fact, that many called Herod's temple. They called it because old King Herod had expanded and remodeled the old temple. Of course, that was before he went mad with suspicion. But he did start on rebuilding the temple. Now, Simon lived in the city of Cyrene. It was the capital city in the district of Cyrenica, which is in Africa. And there were many Jews and Gentiles in Cyrene. Now, just real quick, most Bible scholars and historians believe Simon of Cyrene was a Jew. That's what we believe. But there is a chance he was a Gentile. But most people believe he was a Jewish, and that was his main reason for going to Jerusalem and for the Passover. So as we read this narrative, we're going to read it from the sense that we believe and we know to be correct that he was a Jewish man. Okay. As a boy, Simon and his family would have observed Passover. When he was the youngest at the table, he would ask the opening questions, beginning with, "What made this night different than all others?" And each year, he would be mesmerized at the story of how God used Moses and the 10 plagues to melt Pharaoh's heart, to the point that he would let the slaves go. He would get a chill down his spine when he was told the story about the Passover lamb, whose blood was placed over each family's door, requiring that the death angel pass over that home. As a Jew, Simon would be determined to see Jerusalem, with his own eyes. It was his dream. To put it in perspective, for a kid today, it'd be like getting the chance to go to Disney World for the first time. You know, getting there. I remember when I went the first time, you got there and you saw the magical kingdom, the place with all the rides and the castle. It was like, whoa, right? This is his dream. His dream is to see the city of Jerusalem. He had heard stories his whole life about the city. Now, Cyrene was located along the coast, of the Mediterranean Sea. So while the trip was long, the method of covering the distance was simple. It was really easy. Simon finally had enough saved, so he went to the nearby dock and booked passage on a ship. Now, he didn't call Barbie for a cruise ship here. He got on a ship, a cargo ship back then, and it was not big, didn't have water slides or a go-kart track or any of these crazy things. So it was not a fun boat ride, ship ride across the Mediterranean Sea. But as he was on there, and they were going to sail to Joppa, which is along the Palestinian coast. And then from Joppa, they would get off and he'd walk the additional 35 miles to Jerusalem. The thing that Simon found ironic as he was getting on this boat is, if anybody knows the story, Joppa is the place where Jonah got on the boat to run away from God. And he was going to Joppa to run to God, to run to the city of Jerusalem, to the Holy of Holies, to the temple. Now, most of the people on the ship were crew, but there were pilgrims there going to Jerusalem for the Passover, including several who had been there before. And as they passed the long days on board, they told Simon a bit about what to expect. There'd be massive crowds of enthusiastic worshipers. Expect a close watch from a Roman guard whose task it was to squash any hint of rebellion. Expect the singing of Passover songs with such intensity, you will wonder if angels themselves were joining in. Their renderings only enhance Simon's eagerness to be there to experience Passover himself. I mean, Simon's getting excited at this point. After stopping at several ports along the way, the day finally came when the ship docked in Joppa and the walk to Jerusalem could begin. This was the 12th day of Nisan, 2 days before the Passover lamb were to be slaughtered, and just enough time to make the 2-day walk to Jerusalem. On the first day, Simon linked up with other pilgrims and made camp with them because it was too dangerous for anyone to venture along the roads at night. But the next morning, he didn't wait for them. He was gone. He got up early light, and when it was bright enough to see the road, he headed eastward, which is that way, towards Jerusalem. Along the dusty road, he strained his eyes in the distance to see his first glimpse of Jerusalem, the holy city. Jerusalem sets up on a hill, Mount Moriah. Thinking about his boys, he took a moment to imagine Abraham there, getting ready to sacrifice his son. He thought to himself, Abraham had to have so much faith and trust in God to be willing to put his son on that altar. And as he put his thoughts back on the task of getting to Jerusalem, he continued his journey. And as he continued down towards Jerusalem, he came to a point where he turned a corner and got his first real good look of Jerusalem. He was not looking at the city, up at the city. He was looking down at it, and it was magnificent. The walls were thick and formidable. But most impressive was the temple. It was so big it dominated the entire city. And the central building that Simon knew contained the Holy of Holies stood tall and impressive. Simon covered the last miles as fast as his tired feet could carry. The closer he got to the city, the more crowded the road became. Finally, there he was at the western gate. Walking in, he soon found himself in the flow of a huge crowd in these narrow streets lined with shops of numerous merchants. Suddenly, he looked ahead and saw a kind of processional squeezing through, coming in his direction. He pushed through the crowd to get a better look, but his stomach was not prepared for what his eyes were about to see. He saw three men carrying the full weight of huge beams of wood come struggling down the road. Several Roman soldiers carrying whips were pushing them along. Occasionally, Simon would hear the crisp, clear crack of those whips. And then he saw a man carrying a sign in front of the second man of the three, which said, "King of the Jews." Simon quickly realized that he was watching a death march, and the three men carrying the beams of the wood were going to be crucified. Now, Simon knew better than to get involved with local problems. Wasn't going to do it. So he tried to keep his distance. Yet, curiosity got the best of him, and he ventured closer to the processional. The anger of the crowd was intense. The intense shouts of the crowd were directed primarily only at the second of the three men. As the man struggled towards Simon, he noticed what looked like a woven band of thorns shoved on his head like a cruel joke of a crown. He was beaten, looked exhausted, and he was staggering under the weight of the cross. Simon turned to an old man standing beside him and inquired, "Who is this one from whom there is such a cry for blood?" The old man replied, "Have you not heard of the prophet from Nazareth named Jesus? Today it is he that is being crucified." Simon asked again, "If he is really a prophet, for what crimes is he being crucified?" The old man dropped, and with sorrow in his voice, he said, "This man has committed no crimes, neither does he deserve this punishment. But the religious leaders considered him a threat because he said he was the Messiah, the promised anointed one sent from God." Finally, Jesus fell, and it just so happened that he fell right in front of Simon. The soldier stepped up and raised his hand as he was about to whip Jesus again. But he quickly came to realize what Simon already saw and everyone else around knew. This man was going nowhere by himself. Suddenly, Simon felt a gruff hand grab him by the sleeve. Anybody remembering their dad or mom grabbing him, trying to keep him close? Simon was focused on Jesus, and he felt the soldier grab him. A soldier pulled him in the street and said, "You carry his cross." But he hesitated just for a second because to touch that bloody cross would make him unclean. If he was unclean, he could not observe the Passover. Also, he knew if he carried it in the street, the people would assume he was the criminal. Simon knew, though, this was not a request from the Roman soldier. Yeah. So he knelt down, lifted the cross, and the march continued. It was ironic that in just a moment, Simon went from being at the one place in the world he wanted to be more than anywhere else, to wanting to be anywhere else other than he was. Some were following the crowd, following the three. Some were shouting. A few were spitting on him. A handful had cried. And there in the middle of it all, Simon, unexpectedly carrying a cross. He was no longer moving into the city towards the place of the Holy of Holies, of the temple. But he was leaving the city and up a small hill outside the walls. Now, Simon struggled up the hill. The blood of the man he followed mingled with his own sweat. At one point, Jesus fell in front of him, couldn't stand any longer. Simon might have helped him up, and together, they continued the march up the hill. At one point, Simon looked over to see this condemned man whose cross he was carrying, staring right back at him. He saw no anger, no remorse, but he saw a look of gratitude. But more than gratitude, he saw compassion. Simon wondered if that old man had said, if what he had said was true, that this man was not only innocent, but the Messiah sent from God. When they finally reached the top, the soldiers told Simon he could drop the cross and leave. And he did this at first. And he dropped the cross, but he did not leave. He just kind of staggered back into the crowd, but he stayed there to watch from a distance. And he watched as a man hammered nails into Jesus' hands and feet. He watched as they hung the cross, lifted it up, he watched and listened to the mocking crowd. And then he heard Jesus finally speak. He heard the condemned man say, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." It was then that Simon knew that these were not the words of a criminal. These were the words only a man of God could utter. Simon finally did come down from Golgotha, but he never made it to the temple. Because sometime that day, he had to realize that the real sacrifice was not the Passover lamb that was slain on the altar in some temple. The real sacrifice was the man Jesus, the Lamb of God, slain on a cross on a hill called Golgotha. Later that night, Simon noticed something that was kind of digging into his shoulder area of his clothes. And when he pulled out, was a rough splinter. A splinter from the cross that he had carried that day. He wrapped it carefully in some cloth and tucked it away for the trip home. And when he got home, and his family, his boys, asked him what the highlight of the trip was, he pulled out the splinter. And he'd tell them all about how he helped Jesus carry his cross. And Jesus carried his sin. Now that's a face-to-face encounter with Jesus. Could you imagine that? Did anyone, as I was reading, put themselves in Simon's shoe? What emotions, what things would you have felt? What would have gone through your mind? Within Simon's encounter, folks, he encountered four things that we all will encounter. You've encountered them if you've already chosen to follow Jesus. And if you haven't yet and you one day choose to decide to follow him, you're going to encounter these things. First off, he encountered the cross. He may not have wanted it, and he was compelled to do it, but he could have refused. He could have just taken a beating from the Roman soldier and let someone else be chosen. But he didn't. It would have made him unclean inside of the old law. But he did it. And the biggest thing that we need to remember is that when he carried Jesus' cross, he was really carrying his own. He encountered the cross that day. And what does Jesus tell us in Matthew 16? Those who want to follow me must deny themselves and take up their what? Their what? Yes. And I love the way the Message version breaks these verses down. Matthew 16, 24 through 26. I got my own splinter as I picked up that splinter. Then Jesus went to work on his disciples. I got to stop there. Can you imagine Jesus saying, "I've got to get this through their heads"? Right? He's thinking, I got to break this down in a way that's going to get it through to them. I don't have, time is running out here. Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me, and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, it's my way, to finding yourself, your true self. What kind of deal is it to get everything you want, but lose yourself? What could you ever trade your soul for? As a follower, we must all carry our cross. We must be willing to bear the evil, the pain, the hurt. We must deny our own desires, our pride, and be willing and ready to sacrifice for God. Maybe it's using some of your savings to help someone else in need. Maybe it's reaching out to someone you don't get along with. Maybe it's simply keeping our mouths shut when all we want to do is give our opinion. Sometimes I think we have to step back, take a hit, either socially, physically, emotionally, or financially, to let God's light shine through us. I believe in the days ahead, we are all going to have an opportunity or two to carry our cross and let Jesus be seen in us. Remember, whatever it is that's in front of us, we are expected to take up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow Him, the Lamb of God. Which brings us to our second thing that he encountered. He encountered the Lamb. John 19:17 basically tells us that Jesus started out carrying his cross. So that's how we know he started out carrying it. Because then Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us that he fell right near Simon. In that moment, when Jesus falls in front of him, Simon begins his encounter with Jesus, the Savior, the Lamb sacrificed for all. Isaiah 53:7 from the Old Testament, and Simon had probably heard this growing up Jewish. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Jesus is the Lamb. Even John the Baptist in the first chapter of John recognized him as he was walking towards him. John's out in the woods, right? He's teaching, he's preaching, people are asking him questions. Jesus starts walking towards him. Doesn't matter what he's saying. He takes that moment right there and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Jesus is public now. He's been outed by John right then and there. The Lamb of God. If you choose or have chosen to follow God, you will in the future or already have encountered and must continue to encounter the Lamb of God. Never lose sight of Him. And guess what, folks? In these times and in the current situations around us, that's our hope. And it's going to sustain us through all of the toughest times and circumstances. It will nudge us, it will push us, it will compel us to be the light of the world, to be servants of God. Now, I got to tell you something. Before we get to the third point, it's going to come up in a second. When it does, put it in the fourth slot. When I did the outline when I left here on Friday, and then Friday and Saturday night, God changed it. So, the fourth point, the point we're about to tell you should be in the fourth slot on your outline in the bulletin if you're following along. And then we'll go back to the third spot. So, the third thing he encountered was servanthood. He encountered servanthood when Jesus fell in front of him and he picked up the cross. Simon helps the Savior of mankind carry his burden. The funny thing is, when he first does it, he doesn't even know. He doesn't even know what he's doing, other than he's helping a man severely beaten carry a piece of wood. Galatians 5, verses 13 through 15 tells us, You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Much like those ladies at Walmart fighting over toilet paper this week. If we sit there and nit and pick and yell and scream and fight each other, we're going to eat each other up. And if there's one group of people that should be the light in these coming times, it's us. It's us. Now, servanthood, the condition of being a servant. We do that right around here, don't we? Shoot, the mats, they're building up out there. Steph said we have 15 crocheters now. Wow. So what we need to do is keep giving them plastic bags, keep cutting them up, getting them. Yeah, she's like, yeah, because that's the fun part. And getting them crocheted. We have 6 or 7 already crocheted up there. If you get a chance, over in front of the office, they're laid up on top of the coat rack up there. You can see them. For the homeless in our community. We do many other things. We fill helping hand baskets out here. Our benevolence team has given money to help people in need when things have come up. Peanut butter. As Dave loves to say, we're the peanut butter church, right? To help kids with food and stuff, especially in times when they're out of school. On that note, as many of you know, school has been canceled till the 30th. Yeah, I see you, Kai. Woohoo, yeah. My son would be shouting for joy if he wasn't helping in junior church. But it's canceled. Guess what? Those kids still need food. Many of them get their meals, 2 of their meals, and probably their only 2 meals in some cases, breakfast and lunch at school. So tomorrow, I'm meeting with other pastors and community leaders and Lindsay Hall, and we're going to work out a plan to get them food. But once I get done from there, I'm going to need your help to make it happen. So you'll be getting email, Facebook. I mean, I'm going to plaster it, so be ready. I don't know what it's going to entail, but we're going to figure it out. And I know we're going to join in just like we've always done. Servanthood. This time of year, or this time with everything going on right now this year, your neighbor may need more help than usual. And it may mean that neighbor you don't like talking to so much. That's the hard part of servanthood, as a human anyway. We must encounter servanthood head on. Jesus came to serve, and he was called us to serve no matter what unexpected thing comes our way. Which leads us to the final one, which is in the third slot on the outline. Encounter the unexpected. See, I told you God changed it. With everything that's going on in our world right now, encounter the unexpected. Think about Simon for a minute. Go back to Simon, though. He showed up that day expecting singers, praise, worship, Passover time. And he saw the crowd from a distance, got swept up. He was thinking, that's what I'm heading to. Yes! Woo! It's like Pam and me and Laura are getting ready to go to an Elevation worship concert. Man, we're going to be, woo, let's go! That's what he was expecting. What he got there, the processional of the 3 men walking to their death was not what he was expecting. Jesus falling right in front of him was not what he was expecting. A soldier compelling him to carry the cross was not in his plans. Jesus being nailed to a cross, not in his plans. Hearing, Father, forgive them. Completely unexpected. When we see what happened to Simon, we see something that can happen to any of us at any time. We are surprised by the sudden interruptions of life as we live our daily lives. The thing is, God knows about it already. He knows our journey and what's ahead. In Jeremiah 29:11, he told us he knows the plans of our lives. He knows the plans he has for us. Right now, the big world we live in is a mess. It's chaotic and it's crazy. Yesterday on Facebook, I saw a video. And it's apartments grouped together, and there's a courtyard below. And this is in Italy. And a group of people from those apartments are out on their balconies singing and playing instruments. And they can't be anywhere near each other in Italy. But somehow they figured a way to have community, to have a chance to be together, to see one another, to sing in the midst of that. That's encountering the unexpected head on. We can't get caught up in the mess. We must remember what God has promised. Go to your Bibles. There's plenty of good things to read in there. But right now I want to look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 17. Do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. They are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. This world's going to fade away. And all the troubles, all the COVID-19 viruses are going to fade away. Remember the hope we spoke of earlier. That's how we meet the unexpected head on. Simon couldn't wait to get to Jerusalem, to see the temple, and to celebrate the Passover in the holy city. When he arrived, he got caught completely off guard by what was going on and the unfolding story he was soon to be a part of and pulled into. Simon encountered the unexpected and was initially forced to join. However, I can only imagine what he saw, what he felt, what he thought, and how he was changed by his close encounter. His face-to-face moment with Jesus. As I've said, we all got hit with quite the unexpected turn of events this week. And I'm guessing some of you got hit with things that don't include the shutting down of the NCAA tournament. Although I went through a few hours of depression, I must admit. But I am wearing Illinois blue today because I assumed that we were going to be in the championship Big Ten game today. And some of you got hit with things other than your schools being closed or a wedding being canceled. Or more than just the crazy search for soap and sanitizer and Clorox wipes, water bottles, or toilet paper. As my friend Lou said on Facebook this week, he bought a stick of gum, bubble gum, at CVS and got enough receipt paper from CVS to take care of his bathroom needs. Just a little tip, pandemic attempt, for y'all. And it's not just the appearance of a new virus in our country, not just the different reactions to it by friends and family. Some of us were hit with loss this week, or maybe some physical pain. Or sometime in the past few weeks or months, it may have been divorce, or sudden change in their lives, or a job loss. Some of us are dealing with depression, anger, hurt, and or sorrow unexpectedly right now. And I am here today to tell you that none of us are immune to the occurrence of the unexpected in our lives. The only difference between Christ followers and the world should be how we deal with it, how we address it, how we manage it, how we get through it. We can get through it because we all know we trust in the hope given to us from God, the hope Jesus was beaten for, and he endured humiliation for, and he carried and died on a cross for. Something I want to add here right now. There are people that thought churches shouldn't meet at all today. But we met today And you know why? Because we need each other. We need to be reminded that there are other believers in this world dealing with the same things we are. And we need to be reminded that there's a brother and sister we can count on in our time of need. And we need to show the world where our hope truly lies. Not in the CDC, not in the public health department, but in the Lamb of God. All of this is what God meant in Philippians 4:13. When Paul wrote, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." It wasn't so a football team had inspiration to do a comeback win. It was this. It was meant to give all Christians hope, to remind us where our hope and strength lies when we encounter the unexpected. Simon of Cyrene was in one verse in the Bible, but it was a powerful verse. What we know from this verse is he had a face-to-face with Jesus. In that close encounter, he encountered the cross, the Lamb, servanthood, and the unexpected. We can all learn a lot from Simon, but remember, all he did was carry a wood beam. Simon of Cyrene bore the cross of Jesus, nothing more. His name is never heard again, nor honored by historic pen, nor on the pedestal of fame, his image courts the loud acclaim. Simon of Cyrene bore the cross of Jesus, nothing more. The cross of Jesus, nothing more. And yet, when all our work is done, the golden beams, the western sun, upon a life of wealth and fame, 1,000 echoes ring our name. Perhaps our hearts will humbly pray, "Good Master, let my record say, upon the page divine, he bore the cross of Jesus and nothing more." The takeaway this week is simple, folks. Are you ready? Are you ready to encounter the cross? Are you ready to encounter the Lamb? Are you ready to encounter servanthood? And ready or not, are you ready to encounter the unexpected? If you're ready to carry his cross today, and you haven't accepted him yet, and you've said, "Today is the day I want to encounter the Lamb," then I want you to come down in just a moment when we sing our invitation song. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And please, everyone, bow their heads today. Please. And real quick before I start, keep your heads bowed. If you know him and have accepted him already as your Savior, but you're holding back or you've recently gotten sidetracked, but you're now ready to say, "I'm getting back on track. I want to go encounter servanthood. I want to go encounter the unexpected head on." With everybody's heads bowed, please just raise your hand and hold it up. Please just raise your hand and hold it up. Thank you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you see these hands. You know these hearts. We ask you to be with each and every one of us, but especially those who are recommitting or committing to going forward head on for you, to be ready to encounter Jesus face to face in our service, in our love, in our lives. Be with us today. Be with us going forward. Be with our country. Be with our fellow friends and family and neighbors. Let your light shine through this epidemic.